and get started, we'll go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you that everyone could be here. God, I just pray that you would bless our time, Lord, as we do worship you, Father, that it would be pleasing to you, God, and that we would all learn a bunch from Pastor Michael's teaching tonight. And we look forward to hearing from your word. We love you. In your name, amen. I think we're in order tonight. thank you again for this evening. I pray you would just speak to us through your word, through Pastor Michael. Lord, we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Permitting, I have quite a bit here, but for the sake of all the listeners here, I'll limit it. We're going to start probably in Jude chapter. The context tonight we're going to use will be in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Oh, good. Thank you. I was wondering where that went. I don't know. I thought it'd be a good thing just to kind of reiterate the truth of Scripture in light of the times we're living, especially at times are progressing really bad in the country with reference to the truth, religion, and everything else. It's important for families with young kids, too. It's very, very critical that they get established in God's Word at an early age. They understand the truth of God's Word in an early age because these children in this realm and throughout the world, this is, are going to be hit so extremely hard in their lives with reference to their personal individual stance with the Lord. I'm older. I only have a little bit more to go, so although it's serious, it's not as serious, but I can see those younger than me having a life and death situation with their religion, with their belief in Christ, especially the younger children. So it's really, really important that, you know, parents have such a valuable part in getting children in the right direction, in the Word of God, founded really for life. And it's important because this is going to carry them on through their teen years, their middle age years, and so forth and so on. It's really critical. If the Bible is taken seriously at all, it has to be understood that children at the earliest possible age in life have to have a very serious, very sincere belief in Christ. Otherwise, the world is going to simply erase it. You have, and you too here, I mean, all of us now and any believers in this country, we're experiencing a time in this world where the whole collegiate, the whole hierarchy of at least the United States is in a very pagan, unbelieving generation. And for anyone to get saved is a remarkable thing. Especially, I mean, if you start in high school, these children hit high school, and all their teachers, all their teachers, all the administration in schools are all unbelievers in these schools. They go from there, then they go to college, and all the administration in college, the teaching level, the professors, they're all unbelievers. They get hit again with all this. The Word of God becomes simply fairy tales to a lot of these children. And a lot of these kids grow up in church, and they can't withstand the hit that they get outside the church, especially if they go to college. The last place I wanted my children to go is to college. Yet in their church group, everyone was planning on going to college. And I said, I'm not having my kids go to college. Why? For what purpose? I think as a Christian, I don't think as my neighbor, I don't think it's the world. I think I want to get my child to heaven. That's very serious to me. I don't want my kids going to college because they'll have the battle of their life there. What purpose is it to go there? And I understand going to college, getting skills for a job and so forth and so on, but that's not really what college is about. There's the truth of the matter, and it's simply just getting away from the parents, having a little bit of time alone with their peers, and having a good time. They come back home, and most of them don't even use college to get a job. I mean, those are the statistics. So it's important in life. Also, it's important in life for all of us here. Come on, let's be serious about this. You have to count the cost in life. And my suggestion to everybody, including this group, myself, and anywhere else, if down the road the confrontation comes and you have to give up everything for the Lord, and you feel you may not be willing to do it, well, bail out now. Because I'll give you an example. I learned early on as a very young Christian. And the one good thing about when I became a Christian, I did it on my own, in my room, without knowing any other Christians. I didn't go to church. I didn't have anyone come and talk to me. I simply picked up a Bible that my family had. And we weren't religious, but I had a Bible. I simply read it and accepted Christ just in the Word of God. And I became a born-again Christian. I didn't even know anyone else. So the good thing I had as a young Christian man was I didn't have any influences. I only had God's Word. He proved that He was real to me. Didn't even know where to go. So that gave me a good foundation because I stayed in the Word and I grew before I got hit with the onslaught as soon as you leave the house. Where our children are going to get hit with that too. Be smart in life. Because there are groups that are falling by the wayside that weren't smart. And here's what the Lord does. He's going to test all our faith to see if it's sincere, it's founded, and if we are in fact legitimate, sincere Christians. He says He's going to test us on that at different times in our life. He also says to count the cost. Now here's something really important. Whenever I would see a company that would have scripture verses, and I'm not going to name any kind, I'll name a couple here because I want to use them as an example. They'll have scripture verses on the receipts or bottom of cups or maybe on their bags when you shop at their store, or they have confessions of godliness. And the reason I use the word godliness is because you're going to be tested on it. And what happened to these companies and these institutions and these corporations is, when a test came, guess what happened? They did what the rich man did in the example Jesus gave. And don't you read what the Lord is saying? And I'll use an example. Boy Scouts of America, probably about 6, 7, 8 months ago, the government said we're going to pass laws, like they're going to pass more in the future. Remember, be smart in life. Now, listen. Anything done by the government, legislatively speaking, is only to get at God's word. Satan isn't doing anything except for the purpose of destroying the church. Now, to get at the church, he will start here. And a true Christian sees 20 years ago, I'm seeing, no, that's wrong. And the world sees it for what it is. And I said, no, because 30 years down the road, it's going to hit me as a Christian. I started Narrowway Bible Ministries in 1982. And I said, no, but there was no agreement because no one could see the things Jesus is speaking of, the parables. And I said, in 30, 35 years from now, Narrowway gets hit because of a law back then. And no one could see that. But yet, God can see it, and sincere believers will see it. Well, Boy Scouts of America, lots of family values. You have to understand that Satan uses these things to destroy God's word. And you will say, in what way? We'll show you which way. Boy Scouts of America have family values. They have family principles, and basically, there's a lot of religious activity and exercises in that group. So as a whole, you may say Boy Scouts of America is good, but if I could have, I'd warn you 30 years ago, all your effort is going to be a waste unless you sincerely are in this thing as a Christian. If it's just religion you're promoting here and you're not really founded in Christ, bail out now because you're going to lose everything. So just a few months back, a law comes, and it says, oh, Boy Scouts of America, you have to now let gay people in. Okay? Boy Scouts of America says what? Says, well, no, we can't. That's against everything we stand for. Boy Scouts of America, you either disband or you do what we say, government. I already knew what they were going to say. Because I'm looking at them and say, you're either in or you're out. The test is coming. What is it? They made an announcement and said, yes, we will conform. The truth of the matter, you were never in Christ. I knew it. Not that you were a bad group or any of the other groups. The truth of the matter is, you should have stayed of religion in your group. You should have just been something, but don't bring in religion. Okay? And I'll give an example of this. Chick-fil-A, the restaurant. Okay? Oh, you've read about them. They stand up, you know, they're supposedly a Christ-centered company. To me, that's bad. Because bad in the sense is, are you really or are you not? Because you will get hit with a big test, legislatively speaking. Is everyone following this? Okay? Because they stand up. Same-sex marriages are passed, things like that. Chick-fil-A will make an announcement saying, hey, or they'll pass a law saying you have to hire a certain type of people, and Chick-fil-A says, no, we won't. Hobby Lobby the same way, or whatever that hobby craft store is. So I sit back and I say, well, this is going to be really interesting, Chick-fil-A, because you just spent 40 years building on something. You have all your time, all your effort and money into it, and now the government is saying you have to do this or you lose it. What is it? Well, the Supreme Court announced, they basically overturned the DOMA. And you all know what DOMA, Defensive Marriage Act, is, right? These are critical laws, because it's not like raising taxes. I don't care if they raise taxes. I don't care whatever laws the government passes, but when you pass a law that has to do with my religion, moral type things, yeah, now I care. I really don't care. So other than what happened on that day is, I believe either the CEO of Chick-fil-A or someone very high up did a tweet the very day it happened. And that tweet went something like this, and I don't know for certain. He said something to the fact was, this is a very, very bad day in America. Something to the fact is, we do not approve of any same-sex marriages. We do not approve of anything. Chick-fil-A does not approve of this. Well, you know what happened? Did you read what happened after that? You know who confronted the leader of Chick-fil-A? The owner of the company. Would you ever expect that? The owner of a company goes on and says, we deleted that tweet. You deleted what the guy just said? Isn't that what you stood for 35 years? The guy says, no, what he says is not Chick-fil-A. And I go, and I'm saying to myself, well, what are you going to say? The guy goes, Chick-fil-A is simply this. We have great tasting food. You bailed out, buddy. Here's what I'm saying. You, me, and you will also be tested that day. One day we'll be tested where we're going to say, uh-oh, do I bail out? Or do I lose everything I worked for? If you're smart, you don't have to lose everything you work for. You wouldn't have built the company with that premise unless what? You're all in. That you would have said, no, I will build Chick-fil-A, I will build my family, and I will stand for the Lord, and yes, I know right now I risk losing them. I take that. Chick-fil-A, when they built, they didn't understand that one day they would be called to make that decision. And when the owner tweeted, said, no, delete that, Chick-fil-A is simply a restaurant with good tasting food, I go, you traitor. Now, I'm not saying that easy. This man spent 30 years building it. He invested his life into it. And Jesus said this to this man, you built without counting the cost, buddy. You knew one day by reading the word that it would maybe cost you your life. And you built anyway. Jesus says, you're a fool. and I'll show you where he says it. We'll go to. I hope my studies aren't serious. I mean, I don't teach as if teaching to say rebuke in any listeners. I just teach with a seriousness, and it doesn't apply to any individual or any listener out there. It's just a serious application of God's word. So I hope I want God's word to be fun and enjoyable. At the same time, I want to bring in an element of very serious, because it is serious. In Luke chapter 14, it says this. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's a very serious passage there. And it requires more than a full commitment from the individual. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, the best thing a sincere believer in these companies that have built, like Chick-fil-A, could be In-N-Out, any of those groups, if they're claiming to be sincere believers, the best thing he could do now is what? Just go to the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A law was passed, said you can't do this, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were approached by it. And they said, oh, I lost it. If we do this, we die. Now, come on. If we do this, we die. We don't just lose our home and our kids. We all die. Well, their buddies in the dorm, they're Jewish buddies. Jewish buddies. In fact, they had longer phylacteries than the other guys. Bailed. They said, well, what do you want us to do, Nebuchadnezzar? We will do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. There's the truth. God shook the tree. The truth was evident in two people's lives. Their dorm room and the other guy's room. The other guy said, no, we're going to bail. We're not going to risk death over something we believe in, but not, you know. Well, everyone's in the, you know. Well, God doesn't want the, you know. He wants the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Are you in or out? Now, be smart in life. Don't build where the government... Now think down the road. You may have to make a decision down the road. And you say, well, the decision is made right now. I'm going to serve Christ. Come what may, I'm going to serve Christ. Well, then don't do things in your life that are going to go into the area where you may lose a lot then. Don't do something in your life that you may have to give up because you said, no, I'm serving Christ. Well, then you're going to lose that. You don't ever have to say, oh, man, I got too much time into that. I got too much money. I got my blood into that. Well, don't do it. Don't be that fool. Look what he says this. Whoever wants to come after me is like a man building a tower. When he wants to build a tower, does he not first sit down and calculate the cost, verse 28, to see if he has enough to complete it? Don't start in the Lord if you don't feel you can risk losing everything for your stance in the Lord. Don't build in areas you feel that will maybe jeopardize that. That'd be foolishness. You already know it's going to be taken away. Should I repeat that? You already know it's going to be taken away. Twofold, because God is going to test with it, and the government's going to have his way to a certain extent with your life. Remember, the enemy of your soul as you're sitting in this room tonight is the government. Look, the history of mankind. Satan works through government. He works through those things to get to you in your house. Here's a Christian man's house locked up. He's got a wife and he's got kids. That's an average, typical, sincere Christian. Satan says, I'm going to get into that house. The man goes, no, you're not. We got this baby sewed up. And you better have it sewed up for the protection of your wife and kids, especially the man. You sew it up nice and tight. Because right now, Satan will look at your house and say, you know, buddy, I got you. And I got, right now, I see six ways into your house. How many more do you want? and you're going to go six ways into my house, and the Lord may be up there saying, that's right, he does see six, I see the six, and I covered them for you. Go find the six and cut them off. Because if you don't, he will get in there, and he will destroy you, he will destroy your wife, and he will destroy your kids. Be smart in life. Cut the guy off. He's already going to get you in life. He's going to pound you in life. And look what happened to this guy. When this guy laid a foundation, he wasn't able to finish it. These companies that have built on the Lord, you made a confession in the Lord. I didn't. And I'll use Chick-fil-A as an example, and I'm not knocking them, and believe me, I don't want to make that decision, but if I had to make it, I'm going to have to stick with the tweet of the first guy. We oppose that as Christians. The second, the owner comes in and says, delete it, we got great tasting food. I don't want that. Now this guy is going to do that, and guess what he loses? Everything. Because mainly, he built a reputation of doing something he wasn't able to finish. Don't do that in life. You're going to risk losing everything, and then you're going to be heartbroken at the end of the night. This man began to build, he wasn't able to finish. What king sets out to do something? Look at what he's talking to basically the men Christians. You're going to go out, you're going to build a family, you're going to get a job and things. Be careful how you build that. Because everything you have will probably be lost except for your testimony. You'll preserve your kids and your family, and that's about it. You're not. God isn't going to preserve your wealth. I mean, he can, but let me give you an illustration. Don't think more laws aren't going to be built upon it. And look at here's the truth of the matter. Any law that's passed by the enemy, which is the government, is only to accomplish one thing. And if you only get that from the study, know that everything leads to God's word. That's all the enemy's concerned with, is getting to God. He will use diversions. He will use distraction. Why am I concerned with freedom of speech as a Christian? I'm not concerned with it for the guy next door. That I'm not concerned because it's in our Constitution. Right? I'm smart. I'm concerned with it because it's going to lead to me not being able to say what I want to say. Do you know already I can get arrested? The laws are on the book. I can be arrested. I've already been arrested twice, unjustly, completely innocent of the charge. And I learned one thing. Even though you're innocent in life, you will put out a lot of money and you will be put through hell just to say, oh, that's right, Mike, you were innocent. Oh, sorry. My life is destroyed and you're saying that's the government. So when I see freedom, our freedoms being taken away, I know it's by Satan to lead to this. He don't care about anything else, whether the freedom of the press, and quite honestly, I don't either, but I know where it leads to. It's freedom of speaking God's word. Now, a law is going to be passed one day and is on the books now where you're going to have to navigate through that book, Mr. Teves, if you want to keep Narrow Way Bible Ministries. Let's just say 5 years from now, I get a thing and it says, listen, you and Ken are going to have a discussion with the government. Okay, we already know what it is. You guys are going to have to navigate a little bit more closely to our guidelines on this. Otherwise, if we hear any more of teaching and blah, blah in this area, you guys are going to lose quite a bit. And you know what we're going to say? Take it. Take it all. What you're never going to take is my faith in Christ. Okay, that's what Jesus died for, right there. But what I'm saying is be smart in life leading up to that, because you may give everything up in life and only have that, but that's okay. You have everything you need in Christ. So be smart, not like this guy did and built a tower. Now look at the king. Goes into battle. That's you in the battle in life. Everything is designed as a diversionary tactic by the enemy to get you away from the Lord. All the appearances of good, not the bad things, the good things. And unless you fully pray about decisions you do in your life, something may appear like out of the clouds of heaven. This has to be of God. And the Lord may be up there saying, it's not of me. It's not of me. And Michael, you could have discerned it had you spent a little more time in prayer and read a little bit more. It would have been clear that it wasn't of me. And because you did, something appeared good, and I allowed it to, because we know who can appear good, and you took it, and now there's going to be prices to pay down the road. Not that I'm going to lose myself, any of that stuff, but now it's going to hit you hard. So we have to keep that in mind. In Jude chapter, now I'm going to read these verses real quick, and you all know them, quite a few. In fact, I had more. In fact, I was really excited because I had so many. This is basic. These are all, after I read them, I go, wow, these are all in the New Testament. Of course they are. But what attitude builders? What we want for our lives and for our children's lives are only one thing. If you seriously believe in the Bible, heaven and hell, what is the only thing you want for your child? What could you say? But I want him to go to heaven. I want to see my child. Nothing else? No, nothing else. Good. That's good in God's eyes, because what else matters? Now God says, because you've made that declaration. Chick-fil-A made a declaration. You made a declaration that all you want in your life is for you to go to heaven and your child. I'm going to test you on it, just like I did them. And then he made a tweet saying, no, no, we recant. Well, it's going to be done for you. Be serious in this. It is serious. As the church erases hell, do you know that if you implement two erroneous doctrines in the New Testament, you basically disintegrate the entire New Testament foundation. No hell. Well, what are we saved from? Is that not a simple question? What am I saved from? Do you know? I'm certainly not a professor. I will debate professors. I will debate Supreme Court justices. When you debate through the Word of God, they will leave us cowards. They cannot stand the debate, because truth will override anything they say. So don't go and fall for any of their garbage. These professors, a Supreme Court justice, listen, look at them for what they are. The Supreme Court justice just passed a law overturning what is considered moral foundation of society. Man, woman, married. No, we want a man and a man to be able to get married. And here's what he quote, and have the freedom to do what they want to do in the privacy of their own home. So at the same time, we're getting rid of all sodomy laws. You're a what? You're a Supreme Court justice? You're an intelligent man. Look what you just said. That's what he just said. He is a man of disgrace. But the world esteems him as what? We have to get our perspective right on what truth is in life. The world is falling headlong for sin, for deception, all that. Now, you as a Christian, there's a line. It's called the holy line. God is holy. He is perfectly holy. Here's his line. And as a Christian, we get this righteousness. But aside from the righteousness, let's just put us here. And let's just put society here. So it's God's perfect holiness. Christians are sure a world away above the church of the world. So let's put us right here. Well, these guys are going to continue to go down. And here's what the church does. They do this. They do this. They stayed at a safe margin from the world, and they follow it down. Well, you were up here, And the world was up here. And as the world gets worse and worse, the church follows it. Well, that leaves righteousness way up here. As a Christian, it's supposed to be like this. Where you are today should be more holy tomorrow as the world gets less holy. The margin should increase greatly, which makes you an outcast. It makes everything you do in life an outcast. You're an outcast. Now, aren't you happy to be an outcast? You're called by the name. When the rapture happens and the Lord descends from heaven for a shout, aren't you going to be real happy on that day? Well, you are going to be real happy on that day, but you got to make a decision now. Is your life only about Christ? Then if it is, you cannot put any type of security in the things of the world. The world will take that away from you. Yes, anything other than your faith in Christ. So what I'm saying is count the cost that you do in life. I was diligent in life, and from the guidance of the Lord, I was able to supply for my family, had a good living. I was real conservative because I followed the paths of the Lord and everything. But I knew all along that everything could be removed from me at the end of my life. I accepted that. I said yes, because I'm not going to bow. And if the world says, well, Mike, you've worked for 50 years and you've da-da-da and you da-da-da, I'm not bowing. I already counted that cost 50 years ago. So, buddy, let's move on. It's a moot point. I'm not giving it up. Take it. You can't take what I value, and that's Christ in my heart. So what I'm saying is this, be serious about it, because the time will come when you'll be called on it. And as I often say, even at my Tuesday night study in Castor Alley, I said, people, bail out. Don't hang in with religion. If this isn't the goal of your life, because you're going to lose everything in life and then you're going to be doubly sorry. So bail out now. I mean, don't be about religion. If you're sincerely in Christ, he said this, you can't come to him unless you hate your own father and mother. Are you willing to do that? Then you can't bypass that passage. It's there. You make a commitment on it. Now look at these, hand me that paper there. These are all for attitude. Parents, in addition to giving them the reading, writing, arithmetic, you must produce in your children a vision of unseen God. They must understand the world that's not seen more than they understand their world that's seen. You have to see in your children a spiritual side in their mind where they say, Mom and Dad, I see more clear the things that aren't seen versus the things that are seen. That's what you want to produce in your children. And look, here's how you produce it. These are all invisible passages in the New Testament. What? Apply them. And you can apply them. I'm going to read them. Pick up your cross and follow me. You know that's not a literal cross, right? That's an invisible thing. Deny yourself. That's all attitude. There's nothing physical about that. Your life is a vapor. That's attitude. Right? We go to sleep at night and you say to the Lord, Lord, my life is a vapor. Wow, what a great attitude you have in life. You tell your children, listen, children, as young as you are, that doesn't mean God can't take you. We're all in God's hand. He can take mommy and daddy, papa and dad. It's his business. And children, you have to understand that. Life isn't about mommy and daddy. It's about God. And these verses will build that. He who loses his life finds life. You can't tell that to a guy at work. He's going to say, what are you talking about? But you know clearly what that means because you're thinking spiritually. He's not. No one gets to heaven except for he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's all invisible. Passing pleasures of sin. We understand that, passing pleasures of sin. We don't get involved with it because it's passing. All flesh is like the glory of the field, the glory of the grass, which is pretty today, and you walk out tomorrow and it's dwindled. That's you and I. If we understand that in life, and our children understand it, they're way better off in life. They're going to have a better attitude in life. They will deal with people better in life. They will have a foundation mentally and emotionally that will conquer the world but through Christ, because they're seeing invisible. They see the truth of the world. The world sees none of that which you see. This is all priceless. Unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. That's all spiritual there. You got to be born again. How could someone ever go up to you? Again, here's another good illustration. President Reagan went on the format. He was a Christian. Most people claim to be Christian, except for maybe Obama. But for the most part, he's not sure what he is. Depends on what group he's talking to. Anyway, President Reagan claimed to be a Christian. He was asked by a reporter, here's the thing about it. You claim to be a Christian, it's going to spring on you at the least planned on time. Someone will spring a question on you. And the question was sprung on him that, are you born again? And I know this for certain because I watched him. And he said this. He goes, well, I'm not familiar with the term, but I'm a Christian. Unless one is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Well, I guess that summed that up, didn't it? You see what? By your own confessions will determine the truth of the matter. By the confessions of your heart. Do not work for the food that perishes. Work for the food that does not perish. What does that tell you? That's an attitude. Spend your time doing what? Building your life in Christ. Building your life, meditating on the Bible. Meditating on passages. Feeding yourself. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what you live by. Oh, and there's so many. Do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. These are things we're supposed to be, like the Bible says, eating, feeding. These are the things that rule our life. 6:33 Matthew, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Wow, that sums it up right there. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. Okay? Anyone who loves the things in the world, the love of God is not in him. Well, we've got to be on guard for these things. Devote yourself to prayer, being alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. There's a really good one, devote yourself to prayer. And the reason why the Bible encourages you to devote yourself to prayer is because you pray the same way we all pray. When we go into prayer, yes, it's a ceiling. God does not speak. We don't hear him audibly. It's the same thing for all of us. And we have to be diligent to prove to God this fact. And here God will test you on it. God, I don't see you, but I believe 100% that you're there because you've given evidence, furnished evidence in your word beyond comprehension. And that's why you can go into prayer after 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still do all the talking, for the most part. It's the same way. Nothing happens, as it were. And that's why you can do it day after day after day after day, because God has convinced you of the truth. Here's a few more. Pray without ceasing. Meditate day and night. Do not be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal in your mind. Like, love God with all your strength, mind, soul, effort, everything you have, love God with. These are things we should be instilling in our children. Be filled with the Spirit. He who began a good work will complete the good work. Set your mind on the things above. You can say that to a child, to set your mind on things above. Now, the child may look at you and say, well, Mommy and Daddy, I can't see the things above. And you say, that's good. You can't see the things above. You're going to have to see them in your mind's eye. And that's where you look at the thing. And then you teach. And as adults, we're taught the same way. The Lord teaches me. Mike, and Mike there too. think about the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So continually, we're looking forward to the things that lie in front of us. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, and this isn't a long study. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Halfway down, 3b. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered for to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. You have someone unnoticed that is always trying to creep into your life. And that's why the word crept, a verb, we have a word now called creep now. And it's for persons who creep around, especially the enemy. Now what I'm saying is this. You have to understand that God is telling you, you have to contend for the truth. Don't ever change the way you think about what you think. It doesn't matter if the entire world changes, the Supreme Court justice, the government, and as far as you can see, the church and everyone around you says, well, Mike, these things are okay now. You, more than ever, you turn around and say, not only are they not okay now, they've never been okay. They will never, ever be okay. You contend for the truth. You are the bearers of the truth. It's not Christ now, it's Christ in you. Now, does that mean you confront everybody on these issues? No. Those are areas you got to find out in your own life how you approach things. Say you're at a family gathering. Oh, good test. They love you, you love them. Don't you love your little family gatherings? Everybody raise your hand. I do. I love my family gathering. You see your uncles, aunts, father, mother, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces. Well, remember, the Lord says, he who does not hate his family members cannot be my disciple. Okay, so let's just say you're sitting around the living room, and Aunt Ethel over here, who's not ashamed to talk about anything and is pretty brazen about it all, brings up a topic in your midst about something that is the opposite of what God promotes in the Bible. And maybe looks at you as if she wants you to comment it now in front of everybody. Now, you got to make that decision how and what you say and what you do. My only advice is this. You do what you feel Christ has led you to do, because that's what I do. And I have to live and die by that. What I say, how I say it. But one thing for sure, we can safely say in any situation, Aunt Ethel, God's word never changes. It never has and it never will, because God is his word and he's unchangeable. What was right, it has always been right. What is wrong has always been wrong. What is wrong will never, ever be right. And what is right will never, ever be wrong. You have to understand this. You have to secure this in your mind. And now you got to tell your kids that. What is right today that I'm teaching you, listen, child, you don't have to worry about it changing. It will never, ever be right. See what I mean? So you don't have to worry about, well, yeah, I did that to my children, and 30 years later I found out it was wrong. You don't ever have to worry about that, teaching your children about God. It will never be wrong if it's right, and it will never be right if it's wrong. And they can take that to the grave. But the world is changing. You see it changing. When you have people like Supreme Court justices and perfect, come on, that is a big influence on everything in society. Your legislators, citizens, and everyone, schools and so forth. And how does it impact you? Well, what do you mean? You know how it impacts you. It's the world is caving in on you. Do you feel like that way? Well, good. Because if you did, I'd say, well, don't you feel like it? Yes, it's caving in on you and your family. Now, the younger always are going to have way more battles. So we might as well get them in line and get them basically the full armor of God. The older ones of us may not have to deal with it as much, and the older ones may not have to deal with it as much. But you remember, when Lot was in Sodom, don't think that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah overnight. That was hundreds of years, plenty of laws passed. Don't think it started off. Plenty of laws were passed, and it appeared Lot was the only guy in the whole city. Do you think Lot felt caved in? Of course, the Bible, New Testament, says his soul was tormented day and night. Now, let me give you a little piece of advice. When you're stressed out at night, not because of your job, not because of what you did during the day, but if you lay on bed one night and say, God, this irks me. I am just stressed out about that. And it happened to be something like a law that passed. Do you know you scored a lot of points with God on that? You're actually ticked off about a law that passed, because you knew it opposed God's rule. And God would be up there saying, yes, I approve of that. That's what I want to see. And don't go back from that. In fact, go forward, because the world is going to continue to get worse. You, on the other hand, says right here, you, and the word is a boxer, you contend earnestly. Contend. That means you're going to have to fight for what you believe. Either that, or you're going to have to go down from where you're at. Wherever you're at, do you know you're going to have to make adjustments downward if you're going to conform? Because they're going to all get worse, and you as a Christian will conform to the truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to heaven. Don't be fooled by religions that say, oh, do you know that? Listen, men who appeared to be pillars in Christianity, I wish I can stand. Do you know what Billy Graham said on TV? Now, you all know Billy Graham, right? He said this. He was asked, I don't know if the guy's got Alzheimer's or what, but somebody better find, hopefully, somebody attach a medical issue to this guy. He was asked about getting to heaven. Now, the guy's been preaching. He started Campus Crusade with Christ. And you know the leader of Campus Crusade for life bailed after 30 years and said he wasn't really into it and bailed out. Anyway, Billy Graham says, well, you know what? God's got many ways of saving people. You lying devil. I don't care who you are. Do you see how Satan will use people? Don't be fooled by it. He uses people that appear credible in life. People that are pillars in Christianity. And then God puts them on the forefront, and 50 years of crusades goes down the tube in a second. God's got many ways of saving people. What did you just say? You know. Now stop and think. And the reason I'm saying this is because you're all going to make that decision one day in life too. And it may not be a convenient setting when you make it, because you may lose all your friends. Well, could I suggest something to you? Don't have any friends. Well, I can't go through life without a friend. Well, who said? Jesus said a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Well, these are, you know, well, so much for your knitting group. Yeah, I know. So-and-so was a Christian. She went to a knitting group of 7 or 8 people. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But one day, the knitting circle is going to bring up a topic of what? We all know. See, we know in advance. And now, by saying this, the persons who liked her now don't like her as much. And now she doesn't feel as good going to her weekly knitting circle. Well, you know, lady, count the cost. Life isn't about that. It's about a seriousness of the Lord. And before you join the group, you should have known that. Now, if you say, well, I wish I would have joined the group. Now I know. That's right. Now you know. So count the cost of life before you do things, because God may require payment be made in that situation there. It says here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, and here's the reason why. As human beings, we're easily led astray. We're easily led astray of the truth. We're easily led astray, period. Nevertheless, the truth. But like Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 says, he says this, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. It's not a different gospel. Paul says, I don't care who's preaching it here. This is God's word. Listen, I don't care if it's Billy Graham or the guy next door. They're both the same to me anyway. If anyone is telling you something different than this, he's cursed. Cursed is an anathema. It means cursed, going to hell. I don't care who's telling you something different. If it's not what God has said in the gospel, it's a curse. So don't have respect for anybody. Literally, have respect for your own teaching. What other people do is their business. But don't elevate any Bible teacher anywhere at any time. They'll be held accountable for what they do, but so will you. Don't think you're going to get any extra leeway there. You won't. If you're called to this, they're called to this. So therefore, if they say make certain accusations, you don't conform to that. You confront on that. The Lord is the truth. What the Lord says goes. Verse 8 and 9. Don't fall for it. Even if we. Paul's saying, listen, if I tell you something different, I'm cursed. So get it straight. Only the Bible goes. Okay? Only the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let me see. And the reason I say this is because the world has a great deal of influence in our lives. I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9. Now this is a simple passage of scripture that will never ever pass away. And here's what it says. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, let me ask everyone here. Did we at least assume unrighteous people won't make it into heaven? That's a pretty good assumption. Well, then don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, or homosexuals. Now, what is there that is not understood? Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church that is conforming so quickly to ordain homosexual people. How is this going to affect? Now, to me, I'm 60 years old. You know what? I can't be bothered by too much. And let me tell you, the older you get, the less you're bothered by. But the younger you are, and I'll tell you this, the more you're easily influenced. Yes, 40 years old, you'll be easily. 30 years old, they're more easily influenced. 20 year old, 15 and 10, and children are greatly influenced. So what I'm saying is this now. If the world is accepting certain doctrines that are blatantly clear, you can see it's an onslaught of unprecedented times. These are very clear doctrines and very serious that are just being overran. It's so clear. Right? The whole New Testament is husband and wife. It's never man and man. It's woman and woman. And the reason I focus in on this is for many reasons, but the main reason is this. God somewhat indicates that this type of sin is pretty much indicative of the end of the road for that society. Sodom and Gomorrah, he let it advance to the point where Lot may be the only one. So what I'm saying to you, these are clear indications. This is not an easy time you're living in. It's a very serious time. And my advice to everyone here is give up everything. Let go of it. Because you're going to have to pay a price for it. It's not going to get any easier. And if these laws are passed now, honestly, just go home and lay on your bed at night and for 10 minutes think, what is this country going to be like in 10 years? My children, your children are still going to be children. But what is this country going to be like in 10 years? What are you going to do? Don't tell me you're going to move to the hills. Let's go past that. We all think we're going to go get some commune in the middle of, that's not going to work either. Okay? Not to say you couldn't move. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is your security doesn't lie in your capability of getting to a location where you're just surrounded by Christians. It's not going to happen in this day and age of satellites. They're going to be able to find you wherever you are. Just go register your car or go get a driver's license. They already know where you're at. Like they can't, so let's be real on this type of thing. The world is quickly going the other direction. your family and friends. Now here's what I'm saying, and mark my words, lines will be drawn. Clear lines are going to start being drawn in families. For too long a period of time, the United States had somewhat of a focus of that gray can get along. Christians among non-Christians and this and that. But there's coming to times where those areas are ending. They really are. Because like Chick-fil-A, for a long time he was able to get along in a country that for churches on every corner. But there was coming a time in the future that those churches on every corner are going to end because they're going to become apostate and they're going to start saying things that you may not agree with, and now that time has come. So what I'm saying is, even your families, you're going to find out in your family's mind one time that you're going to be somewhere with a family group and all of a sudden you're going to hear your aunt say something. You're going to go, what'd you just say? And your aunt that you maybe thought was a strong Christian, you're going to see, what did you just say? Well, you know what? I have a couple friends whose children are that way. And you know, they're just like anyone else. They're just like anyone else. Now, you'll know instantly the deception hit home big time. These are serious to us, but they come across very innocent. Don't be fooled by it. When Satan was in the garden with Eve on that conversation, he didn't come off anything but nice. Anything but charming. Anything but, hey, let's just have a talk, Eve. I'm not here to hurt you. As soon as someone tells you that, your guard's got to go up in your life. I'm not here. I can just hear somebody coming, you know. Especially teaching school. Be very careful when you're homeschooling. That day is going to end, by the way. The homeschooling sector is going to have certain things you must implement. And if you don't, they will find out you didn't. And that takes care of that. And what happens to that? Who knows? I mean, you never know. But I'm telling you, be prepared. It's going to hit your life. It's here now. It will hit. It's not going to wait another 20 years. It's there now. And it's going to come quickly. So be prepared for all this. So when you see things like that, you simply just repeat it. And what you're doing, you're proving to God, saying, God, come with me. I don't care if I'm popular, God. I don't care if I lose my family. God, I've already made the decision. I'm serving you. And that's where my trust is. And come what may in life, let it come. The decision is made. So when it is taken away, and I don't say if, I say when, you're already geared for it. So I've already prepared for that. The Lord already told me. I've made that decision already. And now, hey, go grab a cup of coffee. You've already made the decision. It's not something you're going to go home and worry about. You've made the decision already. Nothing on me. If separation comes, you caused it. I simply stood on God's word. You retracted from it. You've conformed. You've softened. The world did succeed in their impact of you. You were okay 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but because so much pressure came from the outside, you began to conform. You started listening to other people's opinion on this. Then you had the Supreme Court justice make an opinion, and all of a sudden you conformed. You changed. But I'm not going to change. And you do that by substantiating God's word in your life now. We only have just a couple more verses. I'm just trying to prepare the saints. That's my calling. The Lord says, put on the full armor of God. Teachers are here to do one thing. Simply do the best they can to furnish the confidence, furnish the necessary courage and weapons that is needed to withstand what they and their children. See, especially as a parent, we know you can get me, and I'm fine with that, but you touch my child, and that's a totally different ballgame. That's how, as a Christian man, I looked at life. Seriously, early on, I said, you know what? I don't care if Satan beats the heck out of me. I don't care what. I can take the pain. But I go, my wife and my kids, I can't take the pain. I will fight to the death. You look at your children that way. And Satan will see that and say, okay, I'll get you. I'm going to get you through your children, your wife. I will get you. Cut him off. Cut him off. Every, look at your house. Look at your life. If you see a tiny speckle of light coming into your home, your life, your mind, your heart, that's an opening. Shut it. Why do you leave an opening there? Cut the guy's hands off. Cut him off at every conceivable point. He will sneak in through that peephole. And once he's in your house, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to wreak havoc in your house. But by cutting him off, you do what Job did. He put a hedge around his life. Look what Job did. What did he do? You all know the story of Job. He was a perfect man in this world. Don't you want to imitate him? Do you know Job had a wife and kids? Tell me about this man. He wasn't a single man that hid himself in a monastery. He had a wife and kids. Tell me, Lord, what did the guy do? Did he work? Did he have friends? He had friends. Did he work? He worked. Well, what did he do to be so righteous? He prayed for his kids all the time that they wouldn't sin against God. He said, I'm fine with me, God, because I'm diligent making sure I don't sin in life. I cut off everything. I meditate. But God, it's my kids I'm concerned with. They just aren't serious about this or whatever. And that's what Job did. And God said they put a hedge around him and his kids. Then when Satan got into the picture and wanted the little battle, God said, okay, I'm taking the hedge away from everything but Job and his wife. Well, kind of Job, actually. And look what he did. First thing he did is he did what? Killed his kids. Wow. So that's pretty heavy. So you have to know in your life the family unit. Remember, here's another thing to remember. In God's eyes, the family was always the immediate family. Meaning, if I had my two daughters, they lived with us when they got married. We'd simply add another house. Their kids, my grandchildren, would also live with us, and they would have another house. God did not want that family unit broken. It was called the United Families of Israel. Like we have the United States, his was never extended families. It was only immediate, meaning that if I wanted to see or support. Now, could you think, what kind of support do you have? Now, imagine if your family, now just picture a family, the matriarch, patriarch, their children's children, and possibly another generation, all living in your neighborhood. Is that fun? Do you have support there? What if you got sick? Do you worry at all if you got sick? If I worry, I got sick. I got 70 family members. They will carry me, right? Look at the support in life, right? Is that good? Yes, it's good. That's the way it was meant to be. Look at in America. We move away. We get sick, and what happens? Well, hopefully there's a hospital. Well, they didn't have hospitals. That was important then, the family unit. So what I'm saying is, let's go back there, protect the family unit. That's critical. The United States, the United Families of Israel. Don't conform to the United States or anything they do. The way they do things, their family set up, the 8-hour day job cycle is not of God. So get rid of it. But you have to do it. But believe me, that's not of God. God would redo everything. So conform to God's word, not the way of the world. And just continue to do that. Anyway, there's a lot more, but I don't think you want me to go on too much longer here. Anyway, I hope that encourages everyone, because it really is going to be a difficult time as the days progress. But you know what? We can make it. We simply stay in God's word. We sincerely love him. We sincerely believe him. Sincerely stay in God's word. He will carry us through. And that's our hope. I'll go ahead and close. Okay? Lord, we thank you so much, as we always do, for your word, God. We just thank you that you've provided a place, number one, where we can get together. God, difficult times are coming. They really are, God. Help us to be strong as Christians. I mean, just normally strong. I mean, just help us to be what we should be as Christians. Help us to encourage each other, encourage our children, Help us to have our only goal in life is sincerely to meet you, to serve you, to do the things you want us to do in this life. Lord, we do give up everything for you. You gave up everything for us. We return that. God, we thank you for all this. And again, just help us get through the weeks, our jobs, our bills, our issues, our problems in life. And help us to be an encouragement to our other family members as well. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.